Jason was a quick learner. And I learned he was a quick learner when I saw him mimicking me. And I was not pleased with what he was mimicking me about. So it taught me very quickly just how important I was in his life and my role in being that role model.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get started here on the Who Is Your Mama podcast. Check out whoisyourmama.com. There you can book your very own legacy interview for your family. That's right. I will interview your family member, maybe your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, maybe your neighbor, anyone that made that big impact on you in your life. This is a chance for you to capture these conversations, these ideas, these insights from the people in your own life. Go check out, book yourself your very own legacy interview with me, Megan Riley. I am happy to do it. I love the idea of celebrating the amazing people in our lives who make us who we are. Go check it out at whoisyourmama.com. My husband and I were watching TV years ago, and Jay Williams was on TV talking basketball. I said to my husband, Chris, I really like him. And Chris said, Jay, he and I played AAU ball together. He's one of the best guys. My mom and his mom had a blast in the stands during our games. How on earth had my husband kept this fun fact from me? Jay Williams is one of the all-time best Duke basketball players. He was the second pick in the NBA draft, and today he is an incredible basketball analyst on ESPN. Jay Williams is the real deal, and he is genuine, smart, and kind, just as he seems on TV. Now I have a little more insight as to why, because I got to meet his legendary mama, Althea Williams. Althea blew my socks off as I spoke with her. She is like a human quote book, and her energy and love for her son left me feeling so happy. The amazing Althea Williams is here with me today. Hi, Althea. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Good morning, Megan. It's my pleasure. It is truly my pleasure.
Well, I'm going to tell everybody a little bit more about you. It's definitely my pleasure to get to speak with you today. So Althea has been an educator for most of her life. She has two master's degrees. But in the time I've gotten to speak with Althea, it is clear that her greatest pride comes from being the proud mama to Jason Williams. You might know him as Jay Williams or Jay Will, or you might know him as one of the best all-time Duke basketball players, or maybe you know him as the second overall pick of the NBA draft, or maybe you know him as the best basketball analyst on any network. He's a businessman. He's a husband. He's a dad, and he's a great friend. And according to Althea, he's the best son a mom could ask for. So Althea raised just an exceptional person, and I am grateful to get to hear firsthand from Althea what it was like raising Jason. And I can tell you, after just a little bit of conversation I've had with Althea, we are going to get lots of wisdom, and I cannot wait. So Althea, are you ready to share all the wisdom with us?
As much as I can possibly get out in the time allowed, I will be more than happy to share.
Well, lucky for us, I am so looking forward to hearing from you. Why don't we start with just kind of, can you give us a general overview of kind of your life circumstances as you were raising Jason?
Wow. They were challenging. Not only was I raising Jason, but I was being married, of course, number one, raising Jason, and trying to start a family life that would be conducive to his well-being and success. He had a dog, and then he had a rabbit, and he had a fish, all of which I took care of. I worked two jobs, one as a counselor, and then I would work evenings some nights as a cashier at one of the local grocery stores. And I don't know if I mentioned my mom, but I mentioned she was a very important part of my life. She became ill with polycystic kidney disease, and I relocated her from Ohio to New Jersey. And so I was also a caretaker. And it was challenging, but you know, when I look back on things, Megan, I don't even realize how I did it all. It just became what I did. And through it all, I gave everyone all the love and attention and respect that they needed. And I feel good about it. I think I did a pretty good job.
I would say you did.
I can't say you didn't have his challenges.
I was just thinking all those things you just listed, they take everything out of you, you know, being a caretaker for your mom and raising a child, those two things by themselves would be all consuming. So I don't know how you did it all either. That's a lot to carry.
Well, we carry it, you know, and I find that the majority of women, both young and old, that I speak to, the older ones my age, we're able to now look back and see all that we did. But while you're going through, such as you are, you can't see it because you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're involved in so many different things, and it won't be until you get a chance to stop at a certain point when you realize, where's Megan at? Where's Megan at? Where's Megan at?
Yeah.
That you will be able to see just how consumed. And it's not a bad feeling. It's a great feeling to know that you were able to do all of those things and to be able to look at self and measure yourself on, you know, instead of I could have done better. We all could have done better. But as long as you know you've done your best and you've given all you have to give, then you've done a fantastic job.
That's so beautiful. And I, you know, when, especially when you can look at your son and see how strong and powerful he is in our world and what a positive voice he is, that when you think about all you were managing and carrying, you clearly still put such a focus on raising a strong, wonderful child, which is clearly must have been a priority for you.
It was really, when I look at it, was my top priority. I believe that women are blessed if they're able to have an opportunity to raise one child or two or three or how many they choose to. But it is a total commitment of self. You realize, you look down and you realize that here's this innocent, I don't know anything human being in your arms. And you are responsible for everything that happens to them. And there is no greater concern or no greater effort out there than to do the best job you can possibly do to make sure that they're healthy, they're smart, they learn, they grow, and that you establish values and norms. Jason and I, over the years, he respects me as his mom. He knows my role, but he also became my best friend. And it's really a beautiful experience. It really is a beautiful experience. Some people wouldn't know. Some people would think that we're like brother and sisters because, of course, I think I look good. He tells me, no, you don't. But we're back and forth. But
that's awesome.
It's the greatest experience of my life.
Yeah.
Of my life.
It's amazing. I can't imagine the pride you feel. And also just knowing that he's fulfilled in his life. You know, as a parent, that's just what you want. You want them to be able to fly and to feel, find their way and find their passion. And it feels to me that Jason has done that. And I would think that's so fulfilling as a parent.
It is very fulfilling, but it was not easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, along the way, there are different journeys that you take to get from one point to another point, a lot of challenges that you run into, a lot of sad times, mm-hmm. a lot of happy times. And to work through all those things, it takes a lot of energy and support. That we as mothers have to be able to provide, not only to our children, but to our relationship, to our, you know, our family, but especially to your kid, because mothers are, and so are dads, not to downplay them in any way, but moms are the role model that children follow. Mm-hmm. We are the example. We are it.
Mm-hmm.
They thrive on our every word, you know, they listen to our every thought, they feel the warmth of our hug. Just amazing. And yes, I'm very proud. But like I said, it did not come without some challenges and some disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely by raising a child with certain values, like teaching them how to be self-disciplined, teaching them how to have faith in themselves, establishing sound morals and values, letting them know that, you know, that it will be okay. You just might have a different journey to take to get to where you want to go. That all comes to play as a child grows, from a baby to to a teenager, to a young man, and to a grown man. So the lessons we teach them now and the values we establish are key to their growth and development. Totally.
Well, that plays perfectly into what I'm curious, as you were raising Jason, can you remember, were there things that you really wanted to impart in him or really instill in him specifically? Were there any specific things you can think of?
I can say there are a few. Yeah. One was to understand, to be faith-based, I was not particular about whether he was Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, or whatever, but to know that there's something greater than this world that watched over us and guided over us, mm-hmm. you know. And when he lost his grandma at a very early age, he had to know that she went to heaven, mm-hmm. because that's where I believe that she went. And so, you know, death for children is difficult, but when they know that they're going to a better place, if you teach that to them, and in my belief, and other parents have other beliefs, you know, we truly believe that there is God, mm-hmm. and there's someone watching over us. So that was really important. Another thing was that we tried to teach self-discipline, you know, and that only came from disciplining, mm-hmm. Making sure that he knew right from wrong, making sure he knew that all people have feelings and need to be loved. Making sure that he made good decisions about the choices, mm-hmm. that would be presented to him as he continued to grow. Those were really key, and I find them to be transient in everything that he's done throughout his life. He's had to pull on all of that, the morals that we established, love, trust, honesty, all of that. It's very important for things for them to know and learn and still, and for a parent to establish, a mom to establish at a very early age, so that they can travel throughout the growth journey. That's what I kind of call it, the growth journey.
That's so great. And you're right. You can see it in how he has lived his life. When you talk about being self-disciplined, you know, he was obviously incredibly mm-hmm. talented athlete, but you don't get to where he got without being incredibly disciplined and a self-starter in that way. I mean, everything else that you said, he clearly carries on today, but specifically just thinking to get to the elite level he did, the discipline that you must have instilled in him was clearly important.
Well, we tried to teach him. I always have my little models, and he can recite them to you today. Like, nothing beats a failure but a try. You may not get it this time, but as long as you have a chance to try again and use different techniques, you can succeed. Because, you know, your attitude determines your altitude. You must maintain a positive attitude to achieve your goal. And because things don't go the way we would like for them to go, it does not mean that your goal will not be achieved. Also, you know, Jason was a quick learner. And I learned he was a quick learner when I saw him mimicking me, and I was not pleased with what he was mimicking me about. So it taught me very quickly just how important I was in his life and my role, mm-hmm. in being that role model. If I did it, it had to be okay. Well, it wasn't okay when I did. So it caused me to have to change me. And as I changed and tried to teach him, it was just a continuous, it's like a pairing of growing up.
Yeah,
mothers grow with their children because motherhood is transitional. You will start as a baby and end up with them being, you know, grown men, and how you take that, what you've learned over all those years, to be effective in influencing their decisions and their choices in the latter years. You better have established in the earlier years, because it becomes more difficult as they get grown.
Yes. Yeah.
It becomes much more difficult.
I love the picture that you're painting of, you know, when he models your behavior and then you think, oh, I got to do better. He's watching, you know, and then you do better. Yeah. And then it's the whole idea of iron sharpening iron, and how you all really built each other up to make each other, to think of your child pushing you to be the best version of yourself is just a sweet, wonderful idea.
But they push us to be the best versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. He really did. I tell him a lot of times, I thank my son, mm-hmm. because he helped to change my life. And not that it was a negative life in any way, but he helped me to continue to grow, because I had to grow as he was going to grow. Mm-hmm. That love and that desire to make sure that he was in a healthy place made me strive to be in a healthy place, so that he could feel that and understand it. And loving it and building character. I have to tell you this little story. Building character was really important. You know, there was just a way that we all acted, you know, and didn't tell fibs, mm-hmm. you know, even though I got caught in one or two, but we didn't tell fibs. But in our hometown, Plainfield, New Jersey, there was a little pharmacy that I would go to all the time. It was called Twin City Pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And they were really nice. You know, it was one of those family-owned pharmacy, and I would go there all the time to get medicine for my mom or any prescription I needed. And Jason and I would go in, his hand in mind, and as I was talking to one of the counter people, I took my order, and I went outside with Jason in my hand, and Jason had a pocket full of candy.
Uh-oh.
Where'd you get the candy from? It was out. It was out where? Outside? When did you pay for it? No, it was out. Oh, no, it's not out. That's called being a thief. So let us go back in and remodel our behavior. So I marched him back in here. Yeah, and the guy who was Jim, I said, Jim, Jason has something to tell you. And he emptied his pockets and put it on the counter. He said, I'm sorry, but it was out. It wasn't mine to take. And I my heart, the guy looked at him and said, that's very nice of you, Jason. Thank you. I hope you've learned from this. And I felt bad that I had to do that, but I knew it was the right thing to do. But then I was beating myself up because you weren't watching your kid close enough to know mm-hmm. that he was doing this. He was right beside you. Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of elevated my, how do I say this, elevated my ability to be more aware of everything around me that was going on versus trying to focus on one thing when I had a little one next to me. And that helped to build his character. And as a matter of fact, they get Twin City Pharmacy gave my son his first job.
Oh, no kidding.
After all of that, he gave his first job, yes.
What I love about that story is... First of all, I just, the mental picture of a sweet little boy doing that, you know, just as cute, you know, and so sweet and so natural and normal. But what I love is that in that story, you are the one that you're still accountable. You as the mom, you know, when it's your child, instead of you saying, how could he do that? You think you're going inward and you're saying, I could have done better. And I think that's just such a testament to you as a mom that even in the moments where your child clearly made a simple mistake that many little kids do at those times, when you see that candy, how can you not grab it? But you know, and many moms would be like, well, he shouldn't have done that. He knew, but you still are taking the accountability, which I think is really powerful as a parent to always kind of look back at yourself and think, how could I have done better?
It's important to do that constantly. Not that it should be, I mean, not that you can't think and do other things at the same time, because, you know, women, moms are really multitasking all the time mm-hmm. and all the different hats that we wear in the course of maybe even an hour, you become five different people and still end up being mommy. But it all evolved around his safety, and you know, stealing is just not accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, you have money. I mean, you only had maybe 25 cents, but you still had money in your pocket. You know, you could buy it. You know, so you start teaching this early, and never had another problem.
Yeah,
he realized then that it was wrong to do, and I realized then that I just need to be a little aware. You know how sometimes you go to the grocery store and you see kids running all over the place, and the young parents nowadays, you know, kids wear tutu. I don't know what you call them. What do you call them? Play clothes?
Yeah.
Where they dress up like different cartoon characters.
Yes, dress up. Uh-huh. Yes.
And they're flying all around the stores like little fairies, and they're here and they're there. And I said, how do you do this? I just don't know how. You know where you're supposed to be, Jason. You're supposed to be right here. Mm-hmm. Somebody could come snatch you. Because mm-hmm. that led to safety issues for me. Mm-hmm. I was responsible for his safety. His well-being. What if somebody ran into him with a cart accidentally? What if he, mm-hmm. What if somebody snatched him right in front of my face? Where was he to be and where was I? So we had this model. We go to the store together, you know, when they're little, you can put them in the little cart, you know, the grocery store cart and push them along. But as he began to walk, he walked right at my side and held on to my jeans or my shirt just to let me know where he was at.
I'm here.
Know, safety is really important. Mm-hmm. It's really important.
Yeah. Well, I also impacted by the fact that that moment was probably for you as a mom walking back into the store was probably a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that moment that you think, you know, you have that moment of kind of a little bit of nerve going back in, you know, where I think, but you again chose the more difficult, but also more powerful road that you knew would set that example at the young age. So you're not having to have that conversation when they're 16 and all the stakes are higher.
That's very true. You know, and that's why I said it's mothering starts and parenting starts at the very beginning of life. Teaching starts then. And from an educational standpoint, and I'm, you know, I've been with kids, working with kids for many years, and from all ages, kindergarten throughout college. But by the time we get your young child in school, they're usually 5 or 6 in the state of New Jersey, a lot of things have been established. mm-hmm. how they behave, how they conduct themselves, the words they say, how they perform, how they treat their peers, the words that come out of their mouth. And in addition to every mom thinking, my child is the greatest child in the world. And I knew my child wasn't the brightest child in the world, but he was pretty doggone smart, you know, but that we were working for that parental involvement to keep that motivated. You know, it's really important to establish those kind of things. And yes, I was embarrassed. I was. Mm-hmm. I was slightly embarrassed, but I felt very proud of myself that I did that.
Absolutely.
And I think I gained a level of respect from them also. Mm-hmm. You know, I can imagine a lot of kids have been in there with who had taken things from the little store. Mm-hmm. But I try to get into, as I was saying before, this running everywhere and doing everything. And I'm fearful for the little ones I see, and they're just as cute as pie, and they're just dressed up so cute. But it doesn't seem to be, it takes a really strong mother to have them do that and still be in control of it.
Right.
It's all about the safety, I guess, the point I wanted to make.
Yeah. It's interesting because just so much of it as you're talking goes back to the bigger picture. You know, in the moment, you're like, nothing's going to happen if you take 25 cents of candy. Like really in this little tiny, if this was an isolated event and nothing else would ever be impacted by this moment, the world would still turn. But it's not about that moment. It's about the moments that follow, you know, and that's where your focus was as a mom was this has to be a behavior that is never approved or ignored even because we have to be better than that. We have to strive for more. Come back for our next episode with this amazing mama. She is going to continue to bring the parenting knowledge and insights. You don't want to miss our next conversation coming soon.